ཁྱི ཕྱད མ ཁྱི ཕྱི ཁྱི 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 ཁ ཅིག དེ ཁབལ ཡ ཨན སོ ཁུལ ཉོ མོ པ དེ དེ ཆ ཁོང ཏོ ང ཅེ ཅིག དེ མེ ནུ དུ སེ སམ ད མེ ཅི ཉེ ལ དང པ ན ཞུ གེ ནེ ད ཉེ ཉོ མོ པ སེ དེ ཤེ ན ནེ བེ ཅ བ སེ དེ ཅེ ཅིན ད བ ཅིན ཅིག མེ ཅི མེ སམ བེ སམ ལ ད ཡ ཅིག ད ཨན དེ རེ ངེ ཨན ཨ ཤེ ལ ཕེན བེ ཅ བ ཤེ དེ ཡོ ཡ ཡ གེ ལེ ག ར ག རེ ཅིག གང ཐུ དུ ཅིག ཅིན སེ བེ སམ ལ ཅིན ཏ ར བ 이네 다명도 님이 고마다 디네게 지기네 수님도 투베네 디네게 지시야다 디네 갑리아 수술이야 아니 되샤 공조가 예기도 미데 삼다 디네야 두시네 기시 디네기 지기기 여바인데 남사 오데 가야게 탑시 지시 양도 두시네 네 장도 세워가다 가서 안디 고시로와
Good morning. And yesterday, yesterday afternoon, in the verse that we looked at then, we looked at how to deal with the afflicted mind. And so we first looked at the faults that follow from having these afflictions present within us. And the afflictions, when they arise, they destroy all our own mental peace and our own mental happiness. And then due to having the afflictions manifest in our minds and acting under their influence, then we destroy the mental happiness and peace of those around us as well. And in this way, we came to see yesterday that our real enemies are only internal. They are these afflictive minds. These are our actual enemies. We spoke then yesterday about, first of all, the need to see very clearly the faults of the afflictive minds, and having seen that, then the wish to abandon them will arise. Then we spoke about how to do this, and we mentioned that in the morning, in generating our motivation, when we generate the motivation, that today in every activity that we do, we will avoid harming others in any way. Based on the knowledge of the role of the afflictions, we will see that the reason that we engage in harming others is due to acting under the influence of the afflictions. So seeing this and combining this with the motivation not to cause any problems or difficulties for others, we then make the commitment to abandon the afflictions, to not allow ourselves to come under the influence of these destructive emotions. And furthermore, we generate the wish not only not to harm others, but to be of benefit to others, to think of others in a beneficial way, to relate to others in a beneficial way. And so this means generating the minds which are the opposite to the affliction, so virtuous minds. So that's the motivation that we set in the morning, and then throughout the day we need to remind ourselves of our meditation. And we do this by always watching the mind. And as soon as we encounter a situation where we know an affliction may well arise, we guard our mind. Or if we notice that affliction has arisen, we apply the antidote. And this we need to employ throughout the day. And in this way, we slowly start to tame our mind, to pacify our mind, to become in control of our own mind.
Mm.
So now the verse that we'll come to today looks at how to deal with difficult situations, in particular dealing with people with very difficult personalities. So how should we relate to such people as well as difficult situations? So what can we how can we deal with these situations? How can we think? What plan can we make to deal with these situations? That's what we're going to look at this morning.
Mm-hmm. Adin ma tigi dire rashin nembi semjin na tigdu trape nen tonse ni rinchin de da chebater nebr kai bi jizin shos.
In the fourth verse, when seeing a being of wicked nature who is forced by violent wrongs and suffering, I shall hold dear this one so hard to find as though discovering a precious treasure.
Na disi ora da ngzo
My first point to remind ourselves of is that all of us here, we want to experience only happiness. We don't want to experience any problems or difficulties at all. We're all the same in having this base wish. And generally in society, when we think of how to achieve happiness, society promotes almost exclusively happiness being achieved through the pursuit of and attainment of material goods and comfortable living conditions and the like. And we looked at that briefly yesterday, and we looked at the actually two methods, that being the one, and the second is not based on the pursuit of external phenomena, but rather focusing on the mind, focusing internally. And here today now, we're going to be looking specifically at the achieving happiness through focusing on the internal, focusing on our own mental development or mind training.
Chisa dini inza ane pene tumba sanje jumne di ine ane chie tiki tuye di tablam ti la ane chie tuye tuje songja bejo saya de dini saje tiki tuyo marwa chiko nang sembi thone nyamne chie ne ane nyamne sem juha taje dini tiki janya tuva chita ane dina ase ngao tu da sanje jumne di ginda namda ro da ngu dini ki jayar ma ta ngasu ngu thoyo marwa.
When the Buddha abided in the world, in his teachings, he emphasized that the method for happiness was internal development rather than focusing almost exclusively on the material world. So we, of course, haven't had the opportunity to meet the Buddha in person, but we have had the opportunity to see the Dalai Lama and to meet other great lamas that are in the world today, such as Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And through them and their example that we can see how they have applied the techniques of cultivating their minds so as to achieve stable happiness. So if we think of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he encounters many difficult and challenging situations. He, of course, fled into exile. He regularly meets with refugees and people who are experiencing difficulties, and hears their accounts of the torture and the like they suffered previously. So he meets many people experiencing a lot of difficulties. But his mind stays calm and stays peaceful, and thereby his inner peace isn't disturbed, and most importantly, his wisdom isn't obscured, and he's able to give beneficial and useful advice to others, to be of benefit to others. So this we can see, and also we can see that this behavior that he displays, as well as other lamas such as Lama Zopa and the like, this is in accordance with not only the teachings of the Buddha, but all the great bodhisattvas of the past, such as Nagarjuna and Lama Tsongkhapa. So all of them have emphasized that lasting, stable happiness, this comes from inner development. It doesn't come from relying solely on material goods.
Dinner, 아니 미베 두자 셈바 두자 아니 베네 콘로 토보 네 네바 토보 데네 망보 투그리 해서 데니기 안 미디게 투지 안 들야 지게 강하테 아니 네베기 강하테 데니게 두자 제베이나 안 디가 없으면 삼로 가네 땅고 우리 해서 근데 남나 아니 삼로 두수 땅고 우리 해서 데니 시고한테
In the context of great bodhisattvas of the past, the author of this text, Geshe Langri Thampa, he wrote this this text, 8 verses of mind training, based on his own experience of achieving happiness through mind training, through transforming his own mind. So here let's look now at the first line of this 4th verse, when seeing a being of wicked nature. So in society, we do meet people who have very difficult personalities, and when we encounter such people, then our mental peace is certainly destroyed, and we receive or experience many problems. So here, this verse now is how to deal with such situations.
Mm-hmm. Langanzu Jelia, Samna Kartangu, Lamna, Langanzu, two Nevegi, Tuja Chedu, Mansu Semba di Guatango in the Mansu Semi Guatan, the Karelana, Tuacha, Kondrang, Aja, the Pam, never, sir. And then Jambatan, Tivy, Semdi, Tia Gompetango, Guatan, I did it. Jasan Guatana, Mansu Killa, Tivy Samba, Jamzigi, Samla Chandler, Tivy Samba, Jamzi Samba, Dini Samba Samba di Kati, Shukchevena, Mansule. Milly,
So first, from our own experience, we can see that depending on our state of mind, then our state of mind dictates how we experience whatever we encounter. So for example, when our mind is particularly happy and joyful, and maybe we're with loved ones or we're in love, then whatever we encounter, whomever we meet, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we generally can deal with this well, and our mind stays happy and joyous. On the other hand, when we're feeling overwhelmed by life's problems, when our mind has become narrow and tight, and we're consumed by our own difficulties and problems, then even when we meet friends, or we're in situations that we'd otherwise enjoy, like socializing with our friends, then at those times our mind remains down, our mind remains depressed, and we are unable to engage joyously with others. So in this way we can see that no matter what the situation that we are in, how we experience it is dictated by our own minds. So if our mind is full of love and compassion, for example, these kinds of virtuous minds, then our mind is light and spacious, and we can relate to others in a beneficial way. If our mind is overcome by afflictions, then the way we relate to that same situation is completely different. So understanding this, then we should be aware that when we meet someone who's someone of negative character, of a harmful character, and when we coming into contact with such a person, we know that they are likely to express this harsh character towards us, then we should immediately generate minds to be of benefit to this person. Because we know that if we respond to them in kind, we are just going to make the situation worse. Whereas if we can respond skillfully, then we can keep our own inner peace and we can be of benefit. So the way to do that is be aware of the situation that person is experiencing right now. That person right now, this person who's overwhelmed this person who has this negative character, such a person has a particularly afflictive mind. Their afflictions dominate them, and therefore they express all this harsh way of communicating, harsh way of interacting with others. So understanding that they right now are suffering, we should generate compassion for them and relate to them under the influence of this mind of compassion. It's important then to understand this clearly, so let's rephrase it. So here, when we encounter someone of a bad character, or we can say someone who's just simply a horrible person, then if we respond in the usual way, which would be to respond in a way similar to how they are relating to us, then all that happens is we getting angry, we getting upset. Our mental peace is gone. We are disturbed by this encounter. So, and then even when we separated from this person, our mind remains dominated by that interaction, and we hold on to minds such as resentment and the like, thinking about that situation, upset about that situation. So here we can see, when we respond in this ordinary kind of way, we have received problems from this encounter. So this person can be called a harm giver or a problem maker, and this is because of our response, more so than how they reacted to us. And this can be shown then in if we were to respond in a skillful way. And here, if we then meet that same person and they talk to us in the same way, maybe talking down to us, showing great pride or scolding us, accusing us of things that we haven't done. So however they relate to us, if we can be aware that this person right now who, like us, has a wish for happiness and, like us, has a right to experience happiness, but their mind is dominated by afflictions, their mind is dominated by destructive emotions, and therefore they are not experiencing any happiness, and due to being dominated by these destructive emotions, they are communicating to us in a harsh manner, in a harmful manner. Thinking like this, and seeing this human being before us, and relating to them as a human being who has the right to experience happiness, but is now overcome by suffering, then compassion arises within us. And now if compassion arises within us, our mind does not become obsessed by, oh, they're saying this to me, they're saying all these, I'm being accused unfairly of things. We're not thinking about this in context of myself and the loss I'm experiencing. Rather, due to compassion, we're thinking about the suffering of the being in front of us. Now, in this way, our mind stays spacious and calm, and our wisdom can shine through, and we can respond skillfully. So this is a very different way to respond to the same situation. And in this case, our mind does not become overcome by the difficulties of the situation, and in fact doesn't perceive the situation as difficult or harmful at all.
Zinu kau tu buat, jangan tu bayar kong lah, jadi tu kong lah, jadi zin
ကိုကြည့်နေရှိစေတမ်းရှိရတဲ့ခါကျဒီဆိုစုကြီးကြောင်းချင်းပေါ်တဲ့ဒီကောက်ကောလို့ပါစစ်သားဒီနေ့ကဒီကသူထုံးဆောင်မှာဆုံးဟုတ်တယ်ငင်းတော့ရှာတဲ့ကျောင်းဒင်ပါရရှာတာကွန်တာကွန်တာဆရာရှင်စုစုခေါင်းမှာမှာချင်းစင်ပြီးကြေးကြေးပြီးကြံပြီးကြတဲ့ဆမ်လို့တန်းတဲ့ကွန်တာကွန်တာကျောင်းကြည့်ရဲဆိုတဲ့တော့မလားဒါလာသူစတဲ့ဝင်ကိုကြည့်နေရှိစေတမ်းရှိရတဲ့ခါကျဒီဆိုစုကြီးကြောင်းချင
So if let's imagine a situation where we're encountering someone who we do have conflict with, and so we think of this person, and we imagine a situation where they are verbally abusing us, and they may be accusing us of something we haven't done, or they are pointing out our faults and things that we have done and we haven't done so well. So if we respond in our normal way, and we stand up tall to them, and we fight back, and we make our case, and we point out that we're not all bad, and we didn't really make the mistake, and we respond in this kind of way, when we have done this, we know how this has gone. The person didn't back down, the situation just got worse and worse, and it ended with both parties being upset. So rather, if we can keep our mind calm and keep our mind gentle, then we can respond in a skillful way, in a way that helps to diffuse the situation and lead to real dialogue and lead to harmony between ourselves and this disturbed person, this unhappy person. So then, there are many ways that one can respond skillfully, but the key here is for one's own mind to be calm and unafflicted. If one's own mind is unafflicted, then one can respond skillfully, because one's mind is not dominated by the afflictions, and the wisdom can shine through. So for example, if what you are being accused of is something that you have done wrong, if your mind is remaining calm, then you can easily take responsibility for this and not take it as a personal insult, and apologize and say, you're right, I could have done that better, or I shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry about that. And you can and in that way you can apologize easily and with humility, because you're not taking this personally. Or if you've been falsely accused of something, or accused of something you haven't done, then you can still respond in a skillful way, saying maybe you have a good point, that's something I should think about, and this will too help calm the situation down. And in this way, when you two come to part, then the situation hasn't been amplified, and you can both leave with minds calmer than before. and how to deal with, how to think, how to deal with such situations. So we've looked at one way to think, which is to be aware of the suffering that is being experienced by this person. Because when someone has generally a negative disposition and they relate to others in such a way, their mind is dominated by the afflictions. So being aware of this, then love and compassion naturally arises for their suffering. So that's the first way to think. The second way to think is to be aware of this opportunity that we have. So by encountering someone who is relating to us in a harmful manner, they are giving us the opportunity to generate compassion for them. They are inadvertently giving us the opportunity to practice patience in relation to them. So from this, we know that we have the opportunity to put into action the training that we've cultivated in our meditation. So when we've been meditating on the minds of love and compassion and patience, then we're doing this in a theoretical situation where we're imagining encounters. Here we have an actual encounter, a real encounter, a real opportunity now to put our training into practice. So this is a very precious situation. And furthermore, from this we know we'll accumulate a lot of virtue, a lot of merit. And this merit will help us in our spiritual progression and our ability to be of benefit to others. So thinking this way, we actually generate a great appreciation for this opportunity and see this opportunity as something that we know is rare and precious, because we don't have these situations so often. And then in this way, we can value the person as being like a precious treasure.
That is all my dictung drape nanon says it. Dictuk drape nanon says. Color was in a pe me never te ne neki ne dako supule ne za chibu cheche and been a ganga shoe yet again. Drape nin. That better send me my jube, send me my jiba cheti nigit on a milia ganga shoe yet. And he may be cashierness, I had to yard, there's certain three ton pe ganga tin joe shoe that you're rather than nigi.
Looking at the second line here, who is forced by violent wrongs and suffering. So the meaning here is that when we think the kind of people that this verse refers to, we've spoken about they have very negative dispositions or negative characters. So this we need to understand in a broader sense, because people can have this negative character due to a number of reasons, such as, for example, they're experiencing overwhelming problems in their life. Maybe they have experiencing severe illness, or their loved ones are experiencing life-threatening illness, or perhaps their financial situation is quite desperate, and they're in fear of losing their home, or they're struggling to have enough to be able to feed their children. So there are many different situations where someone's personality then becomes overwhelmed by the afflictions, or there are many different reasons that the person's personality may be overcome by afflictions. So it may just be due to they have a bad character. It could be due to external situations such as illness of their own illness or illness of their loved ones, or their financial situation means that they're struggling to care for their children or themselves. So there could be many reasons that they are in such a situation, and therefore relating to us in a harsh manner. So bearing that in mind, and bearing that in mind, it should be very clear to us that they are experiencing intense suffering now. And being aware of the intense suffering that someone else is experiencing, even if we don't know what the actual causes are, we know that there are causes. So being aware of the intense suffering that they are experiencing, compassion will naturally arise within us. And if we've been training in the mind of love as well, then the wish for them to experience happiness and only happiness, this too will arise. So this mind of love, which is wanting others to only experience happiness, this will arise and will come with the wish, whatever I can do to help this person, to help alleviate their suffering, I will do that. And I will try to be there in any way that I can, be there for them in any way that I can. So in this way, whether we know what the person's actual situation is or not, if we've been training well in the minds of love and compassion, then when we encounter such a person, minds of compassion and then love will naturally arise for them. Looking at the rest of the verse here, I shall hold dear this one so hard to find, as though discovering a precious treasure. The thinking then that this line indicates is that when we encounter someone of bad character, then if we've trained well, we should actually rejoice in this rare opportunity to both practice the training that we have been cultivating, as well as to be of benefit to others. So if we have been training well in minds such as love and compassion and patience, then when we meet a person of bad character, then when we meet such a person who is overwhelmed by negative emotions, then minds such as love and compassion will naturally arise within us, as we've heard, as well as we'll have the opportunity to practice patience. So to have this opportunity is something to rejoice in, because what we have here now is the opportunity to put into practice all out the training that we've been cultivating in meditation. And so by being able to put this training into practice, we strengthen these minds of love, these minds of compassion, the minds of patience, and thereby we become this new way of thinking, these new habitual ways of thinking become stronger within us. So there's great benefit for us, as well as then of course we accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue. And then this is, of course, important in terms of our future lives and our spiritual progression and our attainment of our spiritual goals. Because all of these are dependent on the accumulation of virtue. So whatever goals one has with its mind, such as calm abiding or special wisdom realizing emptiness or bodhicitta, all of these are dependent on the accumulation of merit. And the accumulation of merit, there are many ways to do so, but one of the most powerful ways is meditating on minds such as love and compassion and patience, and then putting them into practice. And we can only put them into practice when we have the opportunity through meeting people who are overcome by afflictive emotions themselves. So thinking in this way, we rejoice in the situation. And why this is important is it helps keep our minds light and joyous, and thereby our wisdom can shine through and we can respond in a kind way and a peaceful manner. So just to be clear, that here we're rejoicing in the opportunity to practice, not rejoicing in the suffering of someone else. Rather, we're rejoicing in the opportunity that, having met this person, we can now be of benefit to them. So we've looked here at how to deal with difficult situations where we encounter someone who has a particularly negative disposition or difficult personality, and how to use that situation in a skillful manner where we can be of benefit to that person immediately, as well as being of benefit to all beings in the long term through the accumulation of virtue and our continued spiritual progression. So now what to do when the situation is reversed, when our situation then is particularly dire. So for example, if we are experiencing a severe illness, or our loved ones are, or our financial situation has become quite desperate, so how should we think in these situations? So when our situation, when it becomes, if we take the situation and we grasp at it tightly and make and personalize it too much, then our mind becomes dominated by ourselves, our own problems, our own situation, and then our mind becomes harmed by this way of thinking, and we very easily become dispirited or even depressed. And this is because our mind is now becoming dominated by ourselves and our own problems. And it's very difficult to see beyond our own situation at that time. We're not aware of others. We're not aware of what they are experiencing and the problems they may be experiencing. We are completely obsessed by ourselves and our own situation. So this isn't to say that our situation is not severe or dire. It is. But this is why we need to engage in mind training at times like this. Because if one doesn't, it's all too easy to end up becoming depressed and thinking that there's no way out of such a situation at all, and then suicide starts to become the only option. So rather, how we need to think when we are experiencing problems is, first of all, we need to engage in this process of mind training before our mind becomes dominated by our problems and difficulties. So one of the methods would be to be aware that whatever situation that I am experiencing now, that even though it is certainly a severe situation, I am not unique in experiencing this. There are many beings in the world who are experiencing exactly the same problems as I am. And there'll be even more who are experiencing problems even worse than I am. And amongst them, many of them will not have the good conditions that I have, the way I can actually deal with them. For example, here in Australia, if we have illness, if we are afflicted with a severe illness, we have access to excellent medical care, and we have support to be able to afford this excellent medical care. The vast majority of people in the world, they don't have access to such medical care, or if they do, they have financial obstacles, financial barriers to accessing it. It's only for the wealthy in their countries. So thinking in general about the situation of others, that others are experiencing the same problems that we are, or more so, and others do not have the means that we have to overcome these problems, it can help to alleviate our situation. And the reason that it can alleviate our situation is we're breaking out from this mind that is obsessed with oneself and thinking about just myself and my own problems and the impact this has on me. And now rather is thinking about others. And when you think about others, our mind then lifts up and becomes more spacious. And when it's more spacious, it's not dominated by the afflictions. And again, then the wisdom can shine through and we can make good decisions. And then when our mind is now a little bit more spacious, and compassion has arisen within us for the suffering of other beings, then we can engage in a practice such as that of giving and taking. So, and practice of giving and taking can be very skillful here, because it focuses our mind on the suffering of others and generates strength within us to try and do something to be of help to others. So here, with the practice of giving and taking, we have recognized that our situation is difficult. Maybe we are stricken by illness, or our financial situation is particularly dire. And then knowing that others are experiencing that same difficulty, we generate the sincere wish that through us experiencing this problem right now, may the causes that all other beings have accumulated to experience these problems ripen on me, so that I experience it on behalf of others, and others therefore do not need to experience these problems and difficulties. And then imagine that we are experiencing these problems on their behalf. We are taking their problems, we are taking the negative causes that they have accumulated, and we are experiencing it on their behalf. And then in return, Through doing this, we know we generate in the mind of compassion, we are accumulating virtue, and this virtue that we are accumulating, we then dedicate to others. And we dedicate to them so that they experience the ripening results of these roots of virtue. And through experiencing the ripening results of these roots of virtue, may others be freed of all forms of suffering. May others experience only lasting happiness. So thinking in this way, our mind now is much vaster, much more spacious. And if we've trained well in this practice of giving and taking, we can even do it mounted on our breath, where with the in-breath we take on the suffering of others, and with our out-breath we give our roots or virtue to others. We give the causes for lasting happiness to others. So if we engage in this kind of practice, then our mind is no longer overwhelmed by our difficulties, and we come to see our problems in their true perspective. And in this way, our mind remains relaxed and remains powerful, and we can be of benefit to others, not being overwhelmed by our difficulties.
Taika tu yane yando yane du gomshi zhe ruwa da dini zhe ba ni sosu ki nini ki chi dini yinza da dini ki gejo shiu chi mo sawa tse dili na ki wa yuwa da tse chi ma yana da ki wa yabu yuwa ya tse chi mi dadi gombi gomshi tupi dini tse chi ma yana dini ki yana samlo dini ki sangbu yuwa ya dini yinza da kwa ta nyan nyan zhuwa ya sanji ku pang chuwa da ta nyan zhu cha kyo re si zan dini ki lup san di yana dini yi to li ya nga sam ta ya si shi as di shi ya
In this morning session, then, we've looked at this fourth verse, which is primarily or explicitly on how to deal with situations where we encounter someone with a particularly difficult personality or negative disposition. And so we spoke about a couple of techniques in how to deal with this. So firstly, when we encounter someone who's maybe has an expression of anger or dislike towards us, and maybe talking to us in a way that is quite inappropriate, that is rude and abusive and maybe belittling. So whenever we're in any kind of situation like this, then if we have trained well, then the minds that will naturally arise will be, first of all, an awareness that this is a fellow human being before me. And this fellow human being only wants to experience happiness just like I do. But this person clearly doesn't know about how to achieve happiness. And if they do know, they've struggled to habituate themselves to these methods. And therefore, their mind is now overwhelmed by negativity. Their mind is overwhelmed by destructive emotions. And due to their mind being overwhelmed by destructive emotions, they are suffering right now, and they are communicating towards me in this way, or relating to me in this way. So being very aware of the suffering that someone is experiencing, and that the reason they are experiencing suffering is not because of something that we have or haven't done, but because of the presence of the afflictions in this person's mind, then compassion will arise for this person, and love will arise for this person. Then, when that happens, our mind will not be affected. Our mind will stay peaceful and calm, and we will be able to respond to them in a skillful manner and an appropriate manner. So this is the major part of what we looked at today, and that's what is explicitly presented in the text. And then implicitly is how we ourselves should deal with problems that we experience, or severe situations that we experience. And here the technique is to engaging in the practice such as giving and taking. We can make our mind powerful, and we can prevent our mind being overwhelmed by this difficult situation. So here we spoke about thinking how others are suffering in the same way as we are, and many others. And there are also those who have problems far greater than we are experiencing now or are ever likely to experience. So in thinking in this way, then we can engage in the practice of giving and taking. And doing so, then, we will generate a lot of virtue. And if we've trained well in this practice of giving and taking, then this virtue that we are accumulating independent on others, we offer back to them sincerely with a heartfelt aspiration, may they experience the ripening result of the virtue that I now am accumulating. And may they experience this and be alleviated from suffering entirely. So thinking like this, of course, our mind is no longer overwhelmed by our own difficult situation, and we are able to act in a way that's beneficial to others. And if we train like this repeatedly, especially or foremostly when we're in a retreat situation like we are here, or in our daily meditation practice in our rooms, or when we have some time, for example, on the weekend, and we can do several meditation sessions in our room, we don't need to go away into retreat. We can do retreat in our own homes. We can then think in this way and generate these habits and start to make these habits stronger and stronger within us. Because as we spoke about a couple of days ago, the meaning of meditation is to cultivate new ways of thinking, make new habitual ways of thinking. And this is done by repeating the meditation again and again and again, so that this way of thinking slowly starts to become second nature. And the any harmful ways of thinking, these start to arise within us less and less frequently. So these harmful habitual ways of thinking, they become weaker. The virtuous ways of thinking, they become stronger. So this is something we can do here in retreat or in our rooms. And it's something that we also need to remind ourselves of in our daily activities. So when we engage in our normal activities and we have a few moments to ourselves, just remind ourselves briefly of what we meditated on that morning and recall these minds, such as love or compassion and patience, and then they're more likely to ripen when we meet the appropriate situation. So if we do this and we engage in this meditation technique, we will start slowly over time to see a change within ourselves. So this change only comes through engaging in meditation repeatedly and over a sustained period. Then we will start to see that situations that before set us off, now we're responding in a different way. And at first, and for some time, we will need to intentionally cultivate that mind. And probably for a while, we'll only afterwards think, oh, I should have responded in such a way. But then through continuing to train, continuing to meditate and develop these new ways of thinking, these new habits, then we will have that mental space when we encounter a difficult situation, we will generate the mind that we've been cultivating in meditation. And we will be able to deal with the situation skillfully. And again, continuing like this, eventually we'll get to the stage where spontaneously these minds come when encountering situations that previously had set us off. So this is how meditation works, and we've looked at here in particular situations that we can apply these techniques. And now this text and these techniques were composed by Geshe Langri Thampa based on his own experience. So he has actualized, he had actualized these within his mind, and he shared this with us for our benefit. So we can take this with some confidence that through training in this way, we will experience happiness now, as well as creating the causes for lasting happiness for ourselves in the future, and thereby being of greater benefit to others, and thereby bring about happiness for others as well.
ཁང་ལ་དེ་མི་ཞན་ན་གི་ཕྲ་དོ་ཅེས་སོ་སོ་དེ་ཆོ་པོ་དང་མི་ཆེན་པོ་ཡོད་པ་ཅིག་ལ་ཁོང་ཕྲ་དོ་ཅེས་ཅེས་ཨན་ཁོ་ཆེན་པོ་མེད་པ་སོ་ཡ་དང་ཨན་མི་ཞན་ན་གི་སོ་སོ་ལ་ཡ་ཨན་གི་གུན་སོ་སོ་གུན་མེན་ན་ཨོ་དེ་ཅིག་ཁོ་གུན་དེ་ནས་དུ་ཁོ་ནོ་དེ་ནས་ཅིག་དུ་མི་དེ་ནས་ཡོད་རེས་མ་ཁ་མ་མོ་དང་དེ་ནས་ཅེས་པ་ཡིན་ན་དང་དེ་གི
puis ceux qui doutent se yopé? So then this afternoon we'll look at the next verse. So this then deals with again how to transform difficult situations with others. So where others are jealous of us, or when others act in a way that destroys our good relationship with them, or if we are falsely accused of things. So this afternoon we'll look at techniques on how to deal with that, what are the faults of not responding skillfully, and the benefits of responding skillfully. So that will be this afternoon. So it's a little late now, but there's time for questions. So if you have questions, please ask. But if you need to go and get on with your things, then that's also fine. So if there's some questions.
This may just be a translation issue. Verse 3, it says, as an emotional affliction arises, that endangers myself and others. Does that imply that all emotional afflictions endanger yourself and others, included, or are there some emotional afflictions that don't endanger yourself?
Okay, good. So in yesterday afternoon's verse, we have two lines: as soon as an emotional affliction arises, that endangers myself and others. So does this mean that all afflictions pose danger to myself and others? Yeah? Okay. Then, let me just find this way. Then, Deni miedi sakwa hakuna, deni nyomon kariina kena ke de ngadan shen no tupkire. Di pasa hebe, yamena nyomon kasi, pena di suksunsung, de ngadan shen no kimarebe.
You won't carry Kevinis and that you more like Shuksha Mungurva, you more Shunjo, Chunjo at Kevin, the Shiragi, and you were Shukimurachi to ask your mother, or Angi, just didn't do that, and they shall you chill me, they shall Chunjurachi, Chunjurachi, and you go Chunjo at Kevin, then Deniki Kiji, Nubia, Cherisha Madovachi, Chunjo and Kiji, Ma Jelia, Ma.
So the afflictions, of course, vary tremendously in terms of strength. Some are very subtle, some are overwhelming and powerful. And in terms of the harm they will do to self or others, there's a relationship then between the strength of the affliction that has ripened within us. So a powerful affliction will clearly do more harm than a subtler one or a weaker one. So there is that relationship. However, the weaker afflictions, whilst they may not do much harm at that moment, if one doesn't apply an antidote, then the habituation continues. And the weaker, what is a weak affliction, will slowly grow and grow and grow. And so this then can be related to, first of all, say, attachment. So attachment, as you heard yesterday, is something we experience almost continuously. And so we heard yesterday about how we become attached to this vast array of differing objects. So we do experience a lot of attachment of weak strength. And so that's not causing us much harm and difficulty in the moment. But if we don't overcome all forms of attachment, both powerful and weak, then the habituation continues. And it doesn't just continue at a flat level, it grows and strengthens. And this is clearer, of course, with anger. So if one is overwhelmed by anger, it's clear harm comes to oneself and other. But if one is just frustrated or annoyed, then one may not harm others, one may keep it to oneself, but one is still upset, one's own inner peace is lost. So some harm comes. And then if one applies an antidote, even though some harm came, the habituation then is weakened. Whereas if one doesn't bother with the antidote, thinking, or attachment to this small object, or a little bit of annoyance, doesn't really matter, the habituation strengthens. Kato?
Define exactly what true virtue refers to.
Okay.
If we're here, if something can be destroyed, be blocked, can be restored.
Can it be restored? Okay, so what is a root of virtue? Is it something that, we've heard here that it's something that can be destroyed, but can it also be restored?
Restored and blocked, I've heard those three.
I've heard that roots of virtue can be destroyed, destroyed, blocked, and restored. So can I say something on this? Okay. And then geweta, de kolo kachi tuksu song, geweta.
Geweta.
Then de kolo sum kosong, then de kolo kerang tisung rang. Then Gewe tsawa de mepesu tukire, gewe tsawa de kag tukire, gewe tsawa de pelche sotsukyap dandrapo de, sotsukyap, yankyosu.
Nyomongi sigurwa.
Tsama gewe tsa. Gewe tsawa ki kola, disum ki kola.
Gewe tsawa mepesu tukire, se mepesu fendu sudere la ne nyomongi ki yodi ki sigurwa.
Yinsere. Yinsere.
Jina, manzu, gewa chomya tila, Koro Kati Shukche Sawana, Digi Nkewadi, Man, and Dukewa Sasha Badi, Nibu Chunta, with me Shukche. Then I do that, Tero, Masona, now Koro Mitchie, Penicillo, Jaramaro, she said, the Nigi Shukchamba Savana, Nigi Zawadia, the Nigi Shukche, Majum to Gore. Then Koro did Shukchuma Savana, and give it a Mashukchuma. Koro, yes, Matamen, Gava, yes, Mother Nigma, the Jarad.
So first of all, what is a root of virtue? So it is just virtue. Different word, roots of virtue, same thing. So there is not a difference. Yeah? So what is a root of virtue? It is virtue. What is virtue? It is the potency of happiness, for future happiness. So it has something which has the ability or the potency to ripen in future happiness. So the key thing here is the root of virtue and virtue are the same thing, just different term. So roots of virtue or virtue can be destroyed by anger. And depending on a number of factors, then either a small amount or a great amount of virtue can be destroyed by anger. So if one is very angry, one destroys a lot more virtue than if one is only a little angry. And then also the object makes a difference. So if one is angry at one's teacher or at a bodhisattva, then huge stores of virtue are destroyed. Whereas if one is angry to a similar magnitude or strength, but at an ordinary person, then less virtue is destroyed. Then in terms of restoring, then it would rather be... it is not that the roots of virtue that have been destroyed can be restored, but then they can be reaccumulated, or one accumulates new virtue. This is, it's destroyed, it's gone, but new virtue can be accumulated. Clear? So roots of virtue and virtue are the same. There's no difference between them. So the term roots of virtue is used to maybe make the illustration in the same way as a seed will give rise to a tree. So these two have a clear relationship, the seed and the tree. So in the same way, a root of virtue gives rise to happiness. But so that's why the term is used. But there's no difference between root of virtue and virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.